Praised be Jesus and Mary. Today, being the solemnity of Christ the King, I wanted to share with you excerpts from the encyclical Quos Primus, written by Pope Pius XI, instituting this feast. And in it we read, we remember saying that the manifold evils of the world were due to the fact that the majority of men had not, or the majority of men had thrust Jesus and his holy law out of their lives, that these had no place either in private affairs or in politics. And we said further that as long as individuals and states refuse to submit to the rule of our Savior, there would be no hopeful prospect of a lasting peace among nations. Men must look for the peace of Christ in the kingdom of Christ. Christ himself speaks of his own kingly authority. He did so in his last discourse, speaking of the rewards and punishments that will be the eternal lot of the just and the damned. In his reply to the Roman magistrate who asked him whether he were a king or not, after his resurrection, when giving to his apostles the mission of teaching and baptizing all nations, he took the opportunity to call himself king, confirming the title publicly, and solemnly proclaim that all power was given to him in heaven and on earth. These words can only be taken to indicate the greatness of his power and the infinite extent of his kingdom. This kingdom is spiritual and is concerned with spiritual things. On many occasions, when the Jews and even the apostles wrongly supposed that the Messiah would restore the liberties of the kingdom of Israel, he repelled and denied such a suggestion. When the populace thronged around him in admiration and would have acclaimed him king, he shrank from the honor and sought safety in flight. Before the Roman magistrate, he declared that his kingdom was not of this world. The Gospels present this kingdom as one which men prepare to enter by penance and cannot actually enter except by faith and by baptism, which, though an external rite, signifies and produces an interior regeneration. This kingdom is opposed to none other than that of Satan and to the power of darkness. It demands of its subjects a spirit of detachment from riches and earthly things, and a spirit of gentleness. They must hunger and thirst after justice. And more than this, they must deny themselves and carry the cross. Christ, as our Redeemer, purchased the church at the price of his own blood. As priest, he offered himself and continues to offer himself as a victim for our sins. Is it not evident, then, that his kingly dignity partakes in a manner of both these offices? It would be a grave error, on the other hand, to say that Christ has no authority whatever in civil affairs, since, by virtue of the absolute empire over all creatures committed to him by the Father, all things are in his power. That blessings may be abundant and lasting in Christian society It is necessary that the kingship of our Savior should be as widely as possible recognized and understood, and to the end, nothing would serve better than the institution of a special feast in honor of the kingship of Christ. For people are instructed in the truths of faith and brought to appreciate the inner joys of religion far more effectually by the annual celebration of our sacred mysteries than by any official pronouncement of the teaching of the Church. When reverence and devotion to the Blessed Sacrament had grown cold, the feast of Corpus Christi was instituted. If we ordain that the whole Catholic world shall revere Christ as King, it shall minister to the need of the present day, and at the same time provide an excellent remedy for the plague which now infects society. Moreover, the annual and universal celebration of the Feast of the Kingship of Christ will draw attention to the evils which anti-clericalism has brought upon society in drawing men away from Christ, and will also do much to remedy them. It should be remarked also that much has been done for the recognition of Christ's authority over society by the frequent Eucharistic congresses which are held in our age. These give an opportunity to the people of each diocese, district, or nation, and to the whole world of coming together to venerate and adore Christ the King, hidden under the sacramental species. Thus, by sermons preached at meetings and in churches, by public adoration of the Blessed Sacrament exposed, and by solemn processions, men unite in paying homage to Christ, whom God has given them for their King. Therefore, by our apostolic authority, we institute the Feast of the Kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ to be observed yearly throughout the whole world. Nations will be reminded by the annual celebration of this feast that not only private individuals, but also rulers and princes are bound to give public honor and obedience to Christ. It will call to their minds that thought of the Last Judgment, wherein Christ, who has been cast out of public life, despised, neglected, and ignored, will most severely avenge those insults. For his kingly dignity demands that the state should take account of the commandments of God and of Christian principles, both in making laws and in administering justice, and also in providing for the young a sound moral education. The faithful, moreover, by meditating upon these truths, will gain much strength and courage, enabling them to form their lives after the true Christian ideal. If to Christ our Lord is given all power in heaven and on earth, if all men purchased by his precious blood are by a new right subjected to his dominion, if power embraces all men, it must be clear that none of our faculties are exempt from this his empire. He must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and to the doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls. If all these truths are presented to the faithful for their consideration, they will prove a powerful incentive to perfection. So the Church reminds us once again that we need to be faithful subjects of our Lord and King. And, you know, we can complain about the many evils and injustices that are Pope Pius XI mentions, even in our own day. But as St. Francis de Sales told one gentleman who was bemoaning all the evils of their day, he said, well, this is all true, but the best place to start is with ourselves.